Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who knew? This is Wretched Radio. You certainly know Don Lemon, commentator on CNN, but did you know that he is a seminary-trained theologian? I didn't either, and that is why I was so surprised when I saw that he was brought onto the CNN to respond to the Vatican decree that they consider homosexual marriage to still be a sin. Don Lemon was the expert to pontificate, no Catholic pun intended, to pontificate on the subject of God and his attitude toward sinners. Don Lemon, commentator, theologian, and by the way, I learned this too, soon to be married.
Well, Don, to pivot, you got engaged to your fiance, Tim, in 2019. And this morning, and you guys are so cute, we learned that the Vatican has said that the Catholic Church won't bless same-sex unions, quote, since God cannot bless sin. They go on to say that this does not imply a judgment on persons. But I want to know, do you think this sends a damaging message? And how do you feel about that, given that obviously you are now engaged and going to get married?
That's what it takes to be qualified. You don't need to know the Bible. You don't need to know Roman Catholic catechisms. You just need to apparently be gay, and then you can comment on the subject. And so it is. Don Lemon is going to share with you his theology about God and his judgment. It's interesting that the Vatican, They stayed the traditional line, the biblical line, saying that God can't bless sin, therefore a gay marriage can't be blessed by the church. That would be consistent with the history of the Roman Catholic Church. It's interesting, however, that they added the caveat, this isn't a judgment on persons. How exactly does that work? I think this might be one of them, their modern attempts to try to not look mean to a world that says you can't judge. Remember, God hates the sin, but not the sinner. Well, does God judge sin, or does God judge sinners? And the reality is, sin doesn't go to hell. Sinners do. And so I don't think that we can find any sort of shelter. And as you're going to hear from Don Lemon, it didn't help soften the blow from the Catholic Church. Oh, they're opposed to this, but they're not really judging, so I don't have a problem with it. Not what you're going to hear regarding this issue and an increasingly long list of issues in our current culture. You're not going to find safe harbor in the waters of neutrality. There are none on this subject. You're either vocally for them or you're against them. And if you try to couch it in any way, shape, or form, you're going to get the judgment of theologian Don Lemon, who tells us that God doesn't judge.
Well, I think there are, listen, I respect people's right to believe in whatever they want to believe in their God. But if
there it is, but, there it is right there. He respects our right to believe what we want to, comma, but. And this is where the water gets choppy. And my question, genuine question for Don Lemon and anybody else who takes his position, what exactly do you mean by but? What are you saying? What are the problems with us wanting to believe whatever we want to believe? And are you willing to put restrictions on it if you don't like it? Let's see if he answers that but question.
I want to believe in their God. But if you believe in something that hurts another person that does not give someone the same rights or freedoms.
Hold on. This happens a lot in debate. Give a laundry list of issues. Some are appropriate, some aren't. But you win the argument by listing so many. So here's the problem, according to Don. You can believe whatever you want to about God, but if it hurts somebody, now we don't know if he means physically or just emotionally, because that's a distinction that needs to be made. I don't think anybody would argue that nobody should get hurt. No religion, no anything should lead people to try to hurt other people. But if he's talking about emotions, yikes, we're in big trouble here, because we say a lot of things that are going to make people feel bad. The greatest of which has nothing to do, by the way, with gender or sexuality. The most offensive thing that we can say to somebody is the gospel. Because the gospel tells the individual, you can't earn your way to heaven. You must go through Jesus. And that is a stumbling block. And that causes people to have their toes stubbed. And it is an offense to people. It is a scandalous message. And so if we are hearing from Don and others that if you hurt somebody's feelings, your religion can be canceled, that's a problem. I sure would like some clarity on that, wouldn't you? But Don, by giving himself a laundry list, conflating one issue with another, it gets to skate away unscathed.
Believe in something that hurts another person.
All right, we're cool there. Don't physically hurt somebody.
That does not give someone the same rights or freedoms.
Okay, that people should be able to exercise the same liberties that we have in this country. Anybody have a problem with that? Well, if you're thinking marriage, that suddenly becomes a problem. That's the issue at hand. But he's not done with his list.
Not necessarily under the Constitution, because this is under God. I think that that's wrong. And I think that the Catholic Church and many other churches really need to reexamine themselves and their teachings, because that is not what God is about.
Well, that's not what God is about, says theologian Don Lemon. God is not about judging? Last time I read the book of Revelation, the last time that I read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, 25, there's a day of judgment coming. Paul talks about this day of judgment in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. The Bible is loaded with God's judgment. The whole book is, you can't escape a page of the Bible that doesn't reveal God's judgmental attitude. God is not about hindering people. I don't know what that means. I just don't know what that means. God doesn't want to keep people from doing whatever they want.
Even judging people. And to put it in the context of race, I find that.
Hold on. How did we just jump categories here? And the answer is the Equality Act. Because right now in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., they are debating whether or not sexual orientation, et cetera, should be added to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That you can't discriminate against people based on the color of their skin. Our government appears to want to add your sexuality to it. That is how Don was so able to jump categories.
And to put it in the context of race, I find that, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said the most segregated place on earth, time on earth, was 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Maybe. And?
So I think that religion and the pew keeps us from actually, they're barriers from people actually getting to know each other.
So we need to get to know each other, because God doesn't want to limit people because he doesn't judge. Honestly, this isn't even coherent. I expect more from a seminary-trained theologian.
So I would say to the Pope and the Vatican and all Christians or Catholics.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Don Lemon is about to speak ex cathedra. Or cathedra, if you like.
The Pope and the Vatican and all Christians or Catholics or whomever, whatever religion you believe out, you happen to belong to out there. Yeah. Go out and meet people and try to understand people and do what the Bible and what Jesus actually said if you believe in Jesus. And that is to love your fellow man and judge not lest ye be not judged.
There it is, ladies and germs. Matthew chapter 7 screaming in torture. Because it's being twisted again. It's fascinating to me that it's all about getting to meet people and have conversations. It's always helpful to me to switch categories, swap one sin for another sin. And his argument becomes clearly fallacious and unsustainable. Just Christians and Catholics and Pope, go on and have conversations with people and get to know the, what would you like? The school shooters. Get to know the school shooters. You just get to know them and have conversations and stop being so judgmental. You'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. We are going to be judgers of what is right and wrong. We're not going to do it with a judgmental attitude, which, by the way, is what Matthew 7 is about. John chapter 7 tells us that we are to judge with righteous judgment. Don Lemon, theologian, apparently hasn't quite gotten to studying the Bible yet. Not exactly sure what seminary program he's in where you can become a diplomaed theologian without actually studying the Bible, but it appears clearly that Don has. Get ready for this narrative, incoherent as it is, to come knock, knock, knocking on your church's door. Because if Don has his way, one wonders if he wants our doors to remain open. Kind of judgmental. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm going to let you in on a not-so-well-known wretched secret. Todd is afraid to break a nail. I know, that's hard to believe, but it's true. So maybe you can help us out a little bit. See, our warehouse is moving, and we have pallets and pallets of gospel booklets that Todd may have to move, and we can't risk that. So they've been deeply discounted to save you money and Todd's nails. So head on over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and stock up on all our gospel booklets, like Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, and 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide. Help save our backs so we don't have to move them. Save yourself some money, but more importantly than anything else, help save Todd's nails by heading over to the Wretched store and taking advantage of these deeply, deeply discounted prices on all our gospel booklets. Right now, they're on sale at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Well, are you tired of all the chewed up furniture in your house? Would you like to get your new puppy trained? Well, we cannot help you with that, but what we can do is improve your marriage, help you become a better parent, help to improve your theology, and help you to learn to control your emotions, all with our new Wretched Bible Studies, which were derived from our resources Drive By Marriage, Drive By Parenting, Drive By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. These studies are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, and of course your own personal Bible studies at home. Get one or all of these studies right now at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Now, while we can't do anything about your dog chewing the leg off your couch, what we can do is help you learn how to react more biblically to that. So just go to wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare for theater of the mind. This is Wretched Radio, and yep, that was my best aristocratic impersonation right there with my pinky up. Theater of the Mind, a brand new movie hitting theaters now. It is available at AMC Theaters and Crestmark, Watermark, what's it called?
Cinemark.
Cinemark.
Yeah.
That's the one right there. Look for one in your neighborhood, because I would like to encourage you to consider possibly maybe going to see that movie with one purpose in mind: to write a review for it and then send it to us at idea@wretched.org, because I have to tell you, based on the trailer, it looks very, very promising. Prepare for Theater of the Mind. I know you can't see this. Nevertheless, I think you'll be able to track.
I told you, if we broke attendance records, I'd get the church logo tattooed on my arm.
There you go. There it is. It's clearly going to be a mockery of the megachurch. Cool, dude. Hey, we break attendance records, I get a tattoo in front of everybody. Won't that be... what? That grows people in godliness. How? That teaches people to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? None of the above. Instead, it makes the pastor popular, groovy, a little bit of a showman, so that people will attend on Sunday mornings. Somewhat on occasion, whenever, as long as we can pack the place, we'll do whatever is necessary.
Skip, remember back when we first started?
All we did was preach the gospel.
Ooh. Superman works. I like Superman. Guy.
Okay, what's going on is Thor Ramsey, who is apparently the associate pastor or the youth pastor, is telling tattoo pastor, hey, we used to just preach the gospel. In walks the assistant with his Superman costume for Sunday sermon.
What do you think?
What happened to you?
Me? Your dad is the one with the gimmicks.
The power of the Holy Spirit propels us.
I just want the church to get back to the gospel.
Problem is, you're trying to get your message across.
The gospel?
Right. And ain't nobody listening to that.
Yeah, that's the problem. According to whom? I see this happening constantly lately. The assumptive thinking, the making a leap from A to R. You see this in secular stories regularly. Because of this, that's happening. Because Pepe Le Pew refused the advances, or the kitty cat refused the advances of Pepe Le Pew. What do genders matter anymore? Skunk, cat, male, female. Therefore, he's responsible for the rape culture. Okay, that was a little bit of a jump that we just took right there. By the way, it turns out, Jimmy Jam, your wife is actually...
she is a Pepe Le Pew expert.
I'm so grateful. What did she share with you?
The cat that Pepe Le Pew was flirting with or whatever, she didn't always...
rebuff him.
Rebuff, that's the word I'm looking for. She didn't always rebuff his advances. That she only did it when he smelled bad.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. See, here's where your wife clearly doesn't understand our world. Just because she appeared to not deny him, that doesn't mean that she didn't want to. And clearly, because there were other times when she did, therefore, Pepe Le Pew is responsible for the rape culture as we know it today.
Absolutely.
Glad I could help you out. By the way, when you tried to say that French word with your Nashville-like accent, that was That was a piece of work right there.
I did it just for you.
Just give me your Pepe Le Pew in French again.
No,
no, you're not going to do it?
No.
All right, fine. Let's use our imaginations again.
A good Friday and Easter. I need something big.
Amen.
Bigger than the resurrection.
Bigger than anything we've ever done. National headlines.
Preach on the death and resurrection of Jesus.
An actual crucifixion.
Oh, boy. That's what this pastor wants to do for Easter in the movie Church People, is do an actual crucifixion. Thor Ramsey, who plays the lead character in this FathomEvents.com flick, isn't so happy about it. Now, they're really revealing what has been going on far too long in evangelicalism, and frankly, it just needs to be... I'm tempted to say mocked. It's so not church what so many of these charlatans do. It's just not even, it's nowhere near Christian. It's just some guy with mediocre talents who couldn't get a gig or a contract with William Morris in Hollywood. So they open up a church instead to put on a show where every week that they can be in the spotlight. These silly centers have been going on and growing, and they continue to work until, I'm just telling you, get ready for a lot of them to shutter their doors, because as soon as persecution comes knock, knock, knocking, people are not going to want to risk jobs, career, reputation, freedom to go see some dude fly around on top of the stage wearing a Superman costume, which, by the way, it actually has happened. This movie, however, needs to be careful, because in satirizing these guys, they could become guilty of doing the very thing that they're critiquing. When you're talking about theology proper, correct Christology, the crucifixion of Christ, jokes, we have to be so slow to chuckle or to deliver them. There is a line. And I would like to know if you think Church People crossed it or not. So, find Church People if you want to. Visit it this weekend. Write up a review. Send it to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org, and we will read your review. How did they do? Did they skewer it well? Or did they find themselves in some hot water? I'm hoping for the former, because I got to tell you, this has oodles of potential. And it looks scathingly funny.
I do have some information that you may not know.
Uh-oh.
About this movie.
Oh, no.
The original title before they changed it to Church People was...
I don't know. Stephen Furtick Fiesta?
No, close enough. It was Youth Group.
Okay. All right. That encourages me more.
And they also have a study guide that you can download and play this movie in your church.
Well, we'd like to know if it's worth even attending at this point. So if you want to scoot to the movie Church People, send us a review. You know, don't make it Tolstoy-like, but just send a review. I presume it's clean. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. Does it, however, and some of this is subjective, I grant you, this is why the people over at Babylon Bee, they do not have an easy task. When you're skewering anything that has to do with Christianity, you've got to be doing it with trepidation. I think the first rule is making fun of Christians. That's pretty open season. Making fun or having fun at the expense of Christ. Gots to be really, really careful.
Uh-oh. By placing the nails through your palms in the right place, we hope to avoid major nerve damage.
They want the youth pastor to get crucified. See it, review it, send it to idea@wretched.org. And speaking of what you would think is a movie, what is going on with Pastor James Coates in Edmonton, Canada? He was not going to be released until May. Why? Because he dared to hold church services when the health department of that region in Canada said no. So they took him to jail. That is breathtaking. He refused the terms, which were, okay, we'll let you go if, James Coates, if you only hold church for 15% of capacity. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. As a minister, I am called to lead my people in worship. And if you prohibit me from doing that, I have to not submit to your demands. And they said, fine, then we'll keep you here. He wasn't going to be released until May. It has just been released that he's going to be released coming up in the next few days. The Justice Center expects Pastor Coates will be released from jail soon without any conditions. Well, that's a bit of a tune changer. That, keep praying for James Coates. Please keep praying for his family. And as long as you are praying for churches, please be praying for the Baptist Church in Atlanta, who I am sure are reeling today because one of their youthful members, 21 years old, decided somehow it was a good idea to go shoot up three massage parlors in the Atlanta area. He's in custody. He murdered eight people. Wickedness to the core. And no doubt that church is absolutely flipped on its head because of it. So please be praying for those people and that justice would indeed be done. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, a Canadian father was jailed this month after he disobeyed a court order and refused to call his 14-year-old biological daughter, who identifies as a male, his son. The controversial case has drawn worldwide attention, mostly because it includes a father and mother who disagree over the child's best interests. The couple is separated. The father, Robert Hoogland, is under a court order not to discuss the case in public. The court has also ordered him to call his child son and only use the child's preferred pronouns, he and him. Hoogland, though, has refused to obey the court. He even set up a fundraising website detailing information about the case in defiance of the court order. Hoogland opposes giving the child puberty blockers, believing the child might grow up to regret the decision. The mother, the medical system, and the courts have endorsed puberty blockers for the child. Of course they have. Last December, Hoogland was ordered by a court to assist in the gender transitioning of the child and was ordered not to call the child his daughter. The child has complex mental health problems that the court blamed on gender dysphoria. He believes his child will eventually grow out of her desire to be a male. A California bill that purports to remove police officers engaged in, quote, hate speech would allow the government to discriminate against pro-lifers, conservatives, and people of faith, according to state pro-life leaders. The new California Law Enforcement Accountability Reform Act would root out police officers and potential hires for hate speech and their connections to hate groups by requiring law enforcement agencies to screen potential hires for hate. It would also allow officers who were found to engage in hate to be fired. The sponsor of the bill said the goal is to stop the, quote, infiltration of extremists in our law enforcement agencies. The definition of hate given was advocating or supporting the denial of constitutional rights, the genocide of, or violence toward any groups or persons based upon race, ethnicity, nationality, religion, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, or disability. But the California Family Council said this is an extremely broad, arbitrary definition that could be used to discriminate against peaceful, law-abiding Christians, pro-lifers, and conservatives. The California Assembly of Public Safety is scheduled to consider the bill on April 6th. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Making a law where there is no law. This is Wretched Radio. Not only is author, columnist David French making a law where there isn't one in the Bible, Disappointingly, he's using very bad argumentation, and that is what I would like to focus on. This is not a discourse on whether or not you should get vaccinated for COVID or not. My position has always been my position. And your position is your position. And what you choose to do, I believe, is up to you. I would not impose my thinking on the issue on you, and I would ask for that same consideration. David French is not willing to oblige in responding to the statistic that has been revealed that it is mostly evangelicals who refuse to take the COVID vaccination. David French at the French Press is calling evangelical vaccine hesitancy both an information problem and, get ready, a spiritual problem. Well, then, suddenly I'm interested in this article. I am not interested in the debate about vaccines. Please keep that ringing in your ears for a few moments. This is not to defend anti-vaxxers or to condemn them or vice versa. I'm not interested in that at all. You figure it out for your family. I figure it out for my family. And we still love one another. What I'd like to spend some time looking at is how to not argue. This is going on in our culture constantly. This is bad thinking, bad constructing of an argument, conflating categories, making jumps, correlations, and connections that are not even remotely tenuous. And you and I are caught up in this swirling mess. This is why you, if you're a homeschool parent, are well familiar with the study of logical fallacies, helping the kids understand when you listen to somebody make their case, be listening for inconsistencies or downright fallacies. It is a fallacious argument. It's an errant argument because this is not that. And we study those things in homeschool because it is so prevalent in our culture. Let's go to David French, shall we? Evangelical vaccine hesitancy is both an information problem. All right. That might be. How does he know? How does he know that the evangelicals who don't want to take a vaccination, and I'm just going to say it again, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm not trying to defend somebody's decision to not take the vaccine. We're talking about his argument. He's making the claim it's an information problem and a spiritual problem. How does he know it's an information problem? How does he know how much anybody has studied on this subject? Grand sweeping accusations, no substantiation. We Christians have to do better. And it's a spiritual problem. French writes, yes, you can and should flood the zone with more and better information about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine, but we need to flood the zone with better and more effective spiritual teaching about loving our neighbors and, critically, about trust, faith, and courage. So if I'm reading this correctly, if you do not take the vaccine, you do indeed have a spiritual deficiency. You don't trust, you don't have faith, and you don't have courage. How can he make these accusations? I want to argue better than David French. I don't ever want to be caught talking like him. How does he know this? He writes and tries to build his case. Unless you are in the impossibly tiny minority of people who fully understand the science of the vaccine, we're all trusting somebody. The question is whom we are trusting and why. Fair enough. He's right. We're all trusting somebody, and that's what makes this such a difficult decision. You can read this or you can read that. You can read about one person's take on a particular vaccine, if you can even keep all of them straight at this point, and then somebody else's and get a different opinion. So who are you going to trust? Here's his assumption. You should trust who David trusts. Trust who David trusts. Just trust me. So this is ad hominem after ad hominem with no substantiation. He writes, in conversations about the vaccine, I've heard a number of people declare, I'm just less trusting than you. Well, you should still trust. Okay, argument by anecdote, how many conversations? How representative are those people of the whole? what number would you need to chat with to hear the same theme before you could legitimately conclude this is that? This is just unpersuasive ad hominem making a law where there is no law. He tries to make the case and say, look, you're going to trust somebody, so just trust the people that I'm telling you to trust. Because if you don't, you're not trusting. No, it just means that I'm not trusting the same person you're trusting. And once again, I'm going to say, I'm not telling you to anti-vax or vax. That's, we're dealing with his argumentation, not the subject matter per se. Okay? Not taking a position on that. Keeping that to myself because I'm actually practicing what I'm preaching. We don't make a law where there is no law. Imagine saying to a child who gets beat by his father, you need to trust your father because, I mean, you trust your mother, so you're trusting somebody, so you might as well trust him. You'd go, well, no, that isn't persuasive. Just because I'm not trusting one doesn't mean I don't trust at all. This is bad argumentation from David French. Now, I regularly will agree and disagree with him. It kind of depends on what he's writing about. But this is disappointing to me just because it's written so poorly. And when he says that we have a spiritual problem, see, the reason that I kind of get agitated about that a little bit is because he's saying to my brothers and sisters who do not take the vaccine, you've got a spiritual problem. Whoa. Whoa. Now, that could be an accurate statement if you knew the person individually and if you could make that case, or it could be spiritual abuse. If you've ever wondered what that is, because of course there's sexual, there's physical, there's emotional, and there's spiritual. This could be that. Oh, you don't do what I do? Bad Christian. Wow. That is actually pretty nasty and pretty, dare I say, condescending. Let's go to the conclusion of his article. This that he is trying to make. One of the truly immense tasks of spiritual formation isn't so much communicating the truth, but preparing a heart to receive the truth and respond accordingly. That's why the core of the quest to persuade Christians to take the vaccine is personal and spiritual more than it is scientific and informational. Huh? So wait a second. I'm not supposed to make a decision based on science and information? I'm supposed to have my spiritual formation tell me to take the vaccine. Now, in part, I get that. But that is not to overlook, though, what might be considered by some to be imminent dangers. All that to say, David French, in his argumentation, in my estimation, I'm not sure. And this is, he's not a dumb man. This is one of the poorest constructed articles and one of the most uncharitable and unloving presentations I think I've ever heard come from him. We have to do better. And we also have to do better than the fellow who is, he's not called the principal. Apparently that's a bad word because it has the word pal in it. And mostly guys have pals and we don't want to have anything that's gender specific. It is actually an Episcopalian church in New York. And they are the ones who came out with the book that said you can't use these terms, you can't use those terms, you can't say family, you can't say parents. It might make somebody feel bad. And he came out and basically said, you know, if you want to accuse me of just trying to be too kind to people, then go ahead, have at me. Nice gaslighting, dude. Nice way to take a critique and become the victim. He was defending. We're not going to use genders. We're going to use whatever pronouns are appropriate. We're not going to call things holidays anymore because not everybody goes on a holiday, even though they get time off from school. So we're just going to be more sensitive to everybody. And many people critique that, saying, dude, You're being hypersensitive and unnecessary. And you're also reflecting the spirit of the age, being informed by critical theory. Well, if you just want to say that I'm too nice to people, then go ahead. I can take that accusation. Nobody made that accusation. Sleight of hand, trickery. And it is happening, I think, more now than ever. And it's been going on for a long time, which means we Christians, when we listen to articles and presentations and arguments, our critical ears need to be very, very finely tuned. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Back to the old to-do list again. Let's see. Climb Mount Everest? Check. Snorkeling with the dolphins? Check. Skydiving? Check. So, what's left for me to do? And I guess I can become a wretched gospel partner. Yep, if that's not already checked off on your life's to-do list, it's really easy to do. All you do is head over to wretched.org/donate and partner with Wretched to reach the lost. Become a monthly gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word wretched to 44321. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321. It's simple, it's easy, and it's thrilling. So don't let the thrill of becoming a monthly Wretched Gospel partner and reaching millions around the world with the gospel, don't let that go unchecked.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Actually, it's worse than I remember. This is Wretched Radio. You recall the story of a big, expensive private school in Manhattan, the Grace Church School. For just $57,000 a year, you can send your child there to be indoctrinated with pretty much everything progressive. Why? Because it is run by the Episcopalian Church. And recently, they released a handbook teaching the kids how to be sensitive toward one another. And I had forgotten how ridiculous it is. And I also forgot the statement in response to the critiques of the Grace Church School's new politically correct handbook. by their head elder there, whatever, the head of school, George P. Davison, issued a statement. Remember what actually happened. They released a handbook, and it taught things like this. The guide begins with a push to encourage students to use gender-inclusive language to provide critical affirmation to students across the gender spectrum. Please note the word affirmation, not acceptance. Affirmation. Remember, the goal has never been tolerance. It has always been praise. There it is. Whoomp. It asks students and staff to refrain from using terms such as boys and girls, guys, ladies and gentlemen, and instead use gender-neutral terms such as people, folks, friends, readers, and mathematicians. Gonna have to carry that handbook around with you for a long time to make sure you don't commit the crime of using the wrong word. Abandon the use of the terms mom and dad in favor of grown-ups, folks, or family. Wait a second. Family has an A-M, and if you turn those two around, it almost spells man! The idea of the traditional family is described as an outdated term because each family is unique. We're all modern families, and there is no dictionary definition of what constitutes a family. And there certainly isn't a biblical definition of one. Whatever is a family deemed by the individuals that are in that group, now, well, that's a family. And you will not accept it. You will affirm it. And you won't make anybody feel bad by using the term family because it's historically understood to mean a man and a woman with kids. Don't do it. Stop using terms like that are heteronormative assumptions. And identifies phrases such as ladies, man, boys will love those eyelashes, and your mom and dad must be so proud as being problematic. People can love and commit to whomever they please if their choice, it's their choice who they marry. Who we love, are attracted to, is part of who we are. So let me just see if I can understand this. Who we are attracted to is part of who we are. I'm attracted to using an axe on people that I don't like. Clearly, love is not always a good kind of love. The only question is, where is the line? And that, of course, is the debate. Now, a lot of people jumped on this, made fun of it. Perhaps rightly so. And the head of the school said, so if the boorish cancel culture press wants to condemn us as a newly dubbed woko noho school of politeness, dignity, and respect, then I embrace it. And I hope you will too. Wow. That's so not clever. It's totally obvious to anybody. Sir, I understand that you beat your wife. Well, look, if you want to accuse me of providing skin decorations for my wife, well, then I'll just embrace that, okay? If you want to be that boorish and canceling, honestly. And by the way, did you catch this? And this is why this whole cancel business is so staggering to me, because everybody seems to be thinking that everybody is doing it. And apparently, I'm just guessing, the left thinks that the right is the cancel culture. The right thinks the left is the cancel culture. He said, so if the boorish cancel culture press, the cancel culture press, who? The press is mainstream media, are all liberals. They're the cancel culture. I don't even know that he's using the term correctly. Wants to condemn us as a newly dubbed, what's woke noho? N-O-H-O. Woke noho. Any idea what that is? I don't know what that is. School of politeness. No. Not about being polite and showing dignity and respect. It was about the utter inanity of your statement and position that we can't call anything anything so that somebody isn't offended by it. I do believe the term is called gaslighting. You make yourself the offended party. You make yourself the one who is hurt in all of this because you've been being so noble. Another church story that is one that I think needs to be heeded in this day and age where far too many professing Christian men are caught up in a little something called pornography. Recently, we were shooting season two of Road Trip to Truth. And Pastor Jess Arns joined us to discuss the issue. And he said something that initially caught me a little bit. What? The subject matter was pornography. And he was talking about what it does to a man or woman. It shrivels you up. It turns you so inwardly focused, you ultimately consume yourself, and the end of it is death, suicide. And I went, whoa, that's strong, man. And yet, I wonder if we need to take it a little bit more seriously. In Pennsylvania, now granted, I don't know the church, what type it was. It's a Lutheran church, most likely liberal. The church treasurer stole $150,000, 56 years old, 56-year-old church treasurer of a Lutheran church. He probably didn't have a man bun, probably dressed up like an adult, or at least khakis with some penny loafers and a golf shirt. Stole $150,000 from his church to fuel his porn addiction. He did this over 4 years, stole money from his church entrusted as the treasurer so that he could watch more porn. I didn't realize it was that expensive, but apparently it is. And look at what he ended up doing. Now, can I say to you that if you watch porn, you're going to end up embezzling $150,000 from your church? No. Can I say to you that if you're addicted to pornography, you're going to go shoot up massage parlors? Of course not. Which is what that young man in Atlanta did. He said to the police that he has a porn addiction. And somehow in his brain, that worked out to going to 3 massage parlors and shooting and killing 8 people. Now, can I tell you that will be your end? No, of course I can't. But these stories should frighten you. I'll bet if you talked to either one of these men, they would have never imagined the first time they let their eyes wander and their fingers click on the wrong buttons to go look at forbidden images that they would have imagined they embezzled $150,000 or would murder 8 people. Not a chance. You probably think the exact same thing. You do not know what you are messing with. You do not know the power that sin has, especially sexual sin, and how it lies and it deceives and it grabs you and it will strangle you to death and it will rejoice if you hurt yourself or others. It's happy about it. Why? Because it comes from the father of lies. He hates anything light. He hates anything good. He hates everything pure and lovely and worthy of praise. He hates anything God. And that is what you are dealing with, sir. These 2 news stories should be a cautionary tale for you. I don't know how many times I can repeat this. No, I am not telling you that you are going to behave like those 2 ultimately, but you're in danger. You are in danger. And if you're hearing my words and you are brushing them off quickly, you, my friend, are a fool. You are not being wise. And you are in big danger. It is not going to get better from here. Your life is going to get worse. And you will never know how much of a hash you made of it until you arrive at that tragic destination labeled regrets. Go to your elders now. Run to them now. Tell them you need help now. You need a plan to mortify sin, to put it to death once and for all. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. And tragically, in this one instance, it turns out it ended up killing others. Don't mess with the sin of pornography. Submit yourself to the care of your elders and do it now. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.